Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media site that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
So let's get into the Word. I'm going to introduce my husband. He is going to be reading scripture for us today. His name is, yes, Brian. And he leads our outreach team. And so if you're interested in just getting involved outside the community, outreach team is the best place to do that. And so he leads that, and we'd love for you to connect with him.
Good morning. Please stand for the reading of the Word. So today we're reading out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord has commanded you to rest in the Sabbath day." So let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here today. We pray our ears are open to hear what you have to say about rest and Sabbath. We thank you, Lord, for a Sabbath to rest our bodies, rest our minds, and rest our spirits. We pray for the rest that only you can bring, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. All right, so I have a couple questions for y'all today. They're not too hard, hopefully. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word rest? Sleep. Okay, cool. Relax. Nice. All right. And when was the last time you actually experienced it? The last time you didn't have a child? Okay, I think that's what I heard, at least. All right, maybe you were on vacation and you experienced rest then. Maybe your last Sunday you had a good Sunday nap, right? Those are restful things that we often do. Or maybe it's been so long you can't even remember. Now, the second question, or maybe third, I don't know. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word work? And when was the last time you worked? So I bet that that either you remember that day pretty clearly, if you don't work anymore, right? Or you can know for sure when that was and when you're going back to it, right? So our culture is steeped in work. The American dream is literally the belief that anyone in the United States can achieve success and upward mobility through hard work and determination. And so work is part of our culture. It's something that that is just all around us. We identify ourselves by what we do and how and what our work is. And then often when we are asked how we're doing, one of the most common responses other than good might be busy, tired, I like that, either way, right? Busy. So we like to be busy. We like to stay going. We're like the Energizer Bunnies, right? There are countless songs about work. Many of y'all might, I heard last we had somebody start break out into song because they knew a song about work that easily. But we consider work something that is good, and we should do it always, and we should never stop. That's kind of our culture. And so work has become an idol. It's something that we've put before God. And often, We feel guilty when we rest. How many of y'all sit down to rest only to quickly be interrupted by other people's needs? Or maybe you sit down and realize the trash is overflowing, the laundry is undone, so instead of resting, you get back to work on house chores. Or maybe you don't really feel like you can rest because you need to get more hours so you can pay off your debt and afford life, right? Nothing will ever be as clean as you'd like it to be. Your family will always need something, and there will always be more opportunities for more money. But that doesn't mean you can't rest. Our culture and our sinful nature and the forces of darkness do not want us to rest. But God clearly cares that we set aside time to rest. So today I want you to see that the Sabbath rest is not just a spiritual suggestion. It's an amazing gift of God in a culture that worships productivity. In John Mark Comer's book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he gives us two lists to compare, and he asks, which best describes you? The first list represents restfulness, and the second list represents restlessness. We have margin, which is having time to spare, or busyness, never having enough time for everything. Slowness, walking, soaking it all in, or hurry, running, just trying to make it to the next thing. Quiet, silence, or noise. Always listening to something. How many of y'all are always listening to something? You got something in your ears, right? Or just in your car. Deep relationship, knowing others and being known. Or isolation. Always wearing a mask, never being able to be fully you, avoiding others. Time alone with God and your thoughts. Or crowds, being around others but feeling lonely. Delight, spending time savoring the moment. Or distraction, not being fully present, always being on your phone. Clarity, knowing the truth, or confusion, chaos. Enjoyment or envy, always wanting something others have. Gratitude, being thankful for what you do have, or greed, always needing more and better. Contentment, being fine with what you've got, or discontentment, always seeing the worst in things. Trust, knowing things will work out. Or worry, wondering how things could go wrong. Love, which is forgiveness and grace, or anger and angst, unforgiveness and grudges. Joy or sadness, peace or anxiety. Working from love, doing things because you love those you're serving, or working for love, doing things to gain the love and acceptance of others. Work as contribution, doing things to make life better, or work as accumulation, doing things to get something out of it. Which of those lists best describes you? Are you restful, or are you restless? Are some parts of your life more restful than others? Maybe you're content with what you have at home, but you're always finding the worst in the people at your work, or vice versa. So I recommend take a picture of this list and think of each area of your life, family, work, finances, health, recreation. In each area, circle the word in each list that best describes you. Consider how you could take one action to move toward the restful word, if you're in the restless column. I love this quote from Wayne Mueller in his book, Sabbath, Restoring the Sacred Rhythms of Rest. Sabbath is not dependent on our readiness to stop. We do not stop when we are finished. We do not stop when we complete our task. We stop because it is time to stop. There will always be an excuse not to stop, not to rest. But God cares about us resting. God gave us a specific day to do it. And so today we're talking specifically about Sabbath and Sabbath rest. But first let's look at the origin of Sabbath, which it all starts in the story of creation. In Genesis 2:2-3, it says, "On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all work of creation." God rested, not because he needed to, but to establish a rhythm. 6 days working, 1 day resting. As he created the earth, he also created the rhythms of the earth, right? And so next week, we're going to actually be looking at some of those rhythms and how we can apply them to our lives. But after God created and established these rhythms, everything took a bit of a turn. Sin entered the world. And now work, that was once an enjoyable labor, becomes a burden and is considered toiling. So Genesis 3:17-19 says, "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" So to really understand Sabbath, we need to understand its opposite, which is toil. There are three Hebrew words for toil: itzabon, amal, and yaga. All of these words mean generally the same thing: weary, sorrow, pain, toil, labor, or trouble. And so each time we see toil, it's used to referring to labor burdened by anguish that wears on the body. And so the moral and emotional burden that weighs on the soul. So it's all-encompassing. It's not just your body. It's not just your mind. It's not just your soul. It's all of that. It expresses the whole range of human fatigue. It combines the idea of sweat-producing work with the pain, anxiety, or wickedness that so often accompanies work in a fallen world. How many of y'all experience pain and anxiety because of your work? Even if you like it, right? Even if it's a job that you really enjoy, there's still going to be some pain and anxiety from it because of the curse. So work, it wears on our souls, not just our bodies. Sin created toil. Work is toil. After Genesis 3 and the curse, we see just two chapters later, Genesis 5, where Noah is born. And so Noah, he's the guy who built the ark and the flood and all that situation. And in Genesis 5, we see how he got his name. "When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, 'Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands.'" So just two chapters later, we see that there's somebody coming to bring us relief from our toil. Now, did Noah bring that full relief? No. But you know who came from Noah? Jesus. And so we see just this prediction of relief from toil, even in Genesis. So Sabbath was made to give us rest from toil. Here's the definition of Shabbat and Sabbath. It is a verb, and so there's two words for Sabbath. There's a verb and a noun. The verb is what we're talking about today because we want you to do it. The noun is talking about a specific day. And so this verb, it means to cease, to rest, to desist, and to stop. At its heart lies the simple yet profound idea of stopping ordinary activity so that God-ordained purposes may prevail. Right? It's stopping so that we can see God move. It's deliberate disengagement from what is common in order to honor what is holy or to herald a divine appointed change. It's stopping so we can draw closer to God. We stop the common things to allow for holy things. And in the Bible, it is a specific day, right? They use Saturday as the Sabbath day because it's the seventh day. And so that is also what Sabbath is. But maybe your Sabbath is a different day, and that's okay. But Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. And so God gives Moses and the Israelites the Ten Commandments after they're set free from Egypt. And this is the first time that he gives it to them in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male servants or your female servants, or the livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in this section of the Ten Commandments, the first time that it is given, the reason for the Sabbath is because God rested. So when we have excuses not to rest, I want you to remember that God rested. If the God of the universe can stop, you can stop. So later, right before they're about to enter the Promised Land, God gives them the Ten Commandments again. And we see a different reason for why we Sabbath. In Deuteronomy, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, or if you're a boss, that would be like your male and female people that work for you, your oxen, your donkeys, and other livestock, any foreigner living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. So here in Deuteronomy, the second time we get the Ten Commandments, the reason is that Sabbath becomes a symbol of freedom. They once were in a place that didn't allow them to rest. And now they are entering into the Promised Land where they are allowed to rest. Sabbath is a reminder that we are not slaves to the clock. We are not slaves to the things of this world. We're not slaves to our phones. Sabbath lets us live on God's time and not our own. To practice Sabbath, you're remembering your freedom. And Sabbath was also a sign of God's covenant with his people. Not keeping Sabbath was actually punishable by death. It was that serious to God. It was also one of the reasons that the prophets actually cite as to why Israelites were being judged and were taken into exile. And so in Jeremiah, we see him in chapter 17 say this. This is what the Lord says. Listen to my warning. Stop carrying on your trade at Jerusalem's gates on the Sabbath day. Do not do your work on the Sabbath, but make it a holy day. I gave this command to your ancestors, but they did not listen or obey. They stubbornly refused to pay attention or accept my discipline. And then a little further down it says, if you do not listen to me and refuse to keep the Sabbath holy, And if on the Sabbath day you bring loads of merchandise through the gates of Jerusalem, just as on other days, then I will set fire to these gates. The fire will spread to the palace, and no one will be able to put out the roaring flames. It's serious to God. Sabbath was something that set apart the Israelites from the other nations. All of the laws of God gave the Israelites something different than the nations around them. But the Israelites constantly refused to keep God's commands. And that's why they were sent into exile. When we practice Sabbath, we are setting ourselves apart from culture and denying the world around us. And denying ourselves, even. When the Israelites were in exile, Sabbath was the one thing that united them. Their temple was destroyed. They didn't have a place to worship, but they had a day to worship. And so, what about Jesus and the Sabbath, right? So this is all Old Testament stuff. Where's Jesus? Many times in the New Testament, we see that Jesus does miracles on the Sabbath and pushes back against the strict regulations that had been set to keep and remember the Sabbath. The Jewish law had prohibited work on the Sabbath, but the religious rulers had put more rules around the Sabbath. One thing, you couldn't carry anything on the Sabbath, and you couldn't spit on the ground on the Sabbath. You could spit on a rock, but not the ground, because the ground could make mud, okay? The rock, it would be fine. So you can just not spit on the ground. But we see in John that Jesus told a man to get up after he wasn't walking, right? And Jesus heals him and says, take up your mat and go. And so he says, carry your mat. And these religious leaders are like, absolutely not. That's not okay. That is breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus is like, no, it's not. You put that there. I didn't. And then he also spits on the ground and heals a man of blindness with the mud that he makes. So he doesn't just spit on the ground. He actually makes the mud, right? And so Jesus really cared about the fact that it was restful and not just something that was being regulated. It's interesting, if you go to Israel or certain Jewish communities, there's still many things that they do to keep the Sabbath, such as Shabbat elevators. So these elevators, they automatically stop at every single floor and open up. And this eliminates the need to press a button, because pressing a button would be work. They aren't allowed to drive or use electricity or write. And many Jews are still observing this because they don't know Jesus. In one story in the Bible, the Jewish rulers once were upset with him and his disciples for plucking and eating grains on the Sabbath because they were hungry. And to them, Jesus said this. This is in Mark 2. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. And I loved this version in the easy-to-read version, and how it just really made it more clear to me about what it was trying to say. Because we're not Sabbath people, right? We don't keep Sabbath, generally speaking. It's not a thing that we do normally. So to me, that's a little bit difficult because it doesn't fully encompass that. But in the easy-to-read version, it kind of explains some of that. Then Jesus said to the Pharisees, God wanted to help people, so he made a day for them that they should rest. He did not make people so that they could keep laws about the day of rest. So you should know that the Son of Man has authority over the laws about the day of rest. Jesus declared himself the final authority over Sabbath. And he was the ultimate fulfillment of relief from toil. So how does Sabbath apply today, if Jesus fulfilled it, and we're not practicing it, generally speaking, right? And we're not getting the death sentence for that either, right? So the Sabbath is no longer a command, but we are all generally agree that the rest of the Ten Commandments are a thing we should follow, right? I mean, don't kill, don't steal, don't take the Lord's name in vain, don't commit adultery, all those good things, right? Those are things we can all absolutely get behind. So why don't we follow Sabbath if it's one of the Ten Commandments? Why does Jesus fulfilling the law not cancel out those, but cancels out the Sabbath command? In the New Testament, we see that the Sabbath command gets lumped into the ceremonial laws and not the moral laws. The moral laws are the ones that we all agree with, for generally speaking, right? Most people do not disagree with the moral laws. But the ceremonial laws, these were laws that were made for cleanliness and rituals, making sure that the priests and the people could be close to God. So with Jesus' death and resurrection, the ceremonial laws were no longer needed because now we can be close to God because of what Jesus did, right? He said, "It is finished." He tore the veil, and now we can be close to God without having to do all of these rituals. And we see this pretty clearly in Colossians, because some people still argue if it's a ceremonial law or not. Colossians is pretty clear, in my opinion. In Colossians 2, it says, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink." Because there were certain things you couldn't eat, like pork and shrimp. Those were things that were bad for the ceremonial aspect of things. "Or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only a shadow of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is this reality." Sabbath isn't just a day we should set aside for rest, but rather in Jesus, we can experience rest throughout our days. Sabbath is no longer a command, but it's a gift that many of us have never opened. How many of y'all take a day to rest and draw closer to God? A full day. Many of us have never opened this gift. Sabbath didn't lose its importance. It just changed on how it can be found. And so we see back in the Israelites, and God said that they would never enter his rest because they disobeyed. And Hebrews 3, 18 through 19 says, "And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest." And so we enter into God's rest through belief in Jesus. We choose to Sabbath because we want to be closer to the one who provides our rest. Jesus came to give us rest. Without knowing Jesus, I can give you all this practical advice on how to practice Sabbath, but it would never fully give you rest because your soul is still toiling. In the Bible, there's a story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet while Martha toiled. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is telling Martha to sit down, to spend time with him. All the other things can wait. So a few weeks ago during worship, Mike heard God say, stay here a little longer. And he even asked the congregation, hey, is it okay if we just stay here for a minute? And in my producer brain, who's like, okay, the next thing's coming up. We have to make sure we're following schedule, everything. I was like, absolutely not. I'm not good staying here. We are going to the giving moment, please, okay? But then I heard God say, sit down. And the thing was, I was trying to worship. I was trying. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to say no, but I'm still going to try, right? I was like, I'm going to worship because we're worshiping. That's where I was. And I was toiling, right? I was toiling. But God said, sit down. And when I listened to him, he spoke pretty clearly. I saw this false God yelling at me, yelling at others, saying, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Sometimes it sounds really friendly, right? Sometimes it sounds really good. Keep going, keep going. You can do it, you can do it. It sounds good, right? Not too bad. But God says, sit down. God says, stop. God says he will be your place to sit. He is the rock that we sit on when we can't keep going. Sit down. Stop trying to stand on your own. Far too many of you are trying to do this on your own. And you're wore out, and you're tired, and you're weary. You're trying to prove yourself. But you just need rest. Sabbath isn't just a break. It's a time to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus. So maybe there's some of you here today who don't know Jesus, who that rest that Jesus offers, the soul rest that he offers, you've never accepted it. Today's your day. Step into the rest that he has for you. And then there's some people here who, when they heard that today was going to be about rest, they were like, ooh, I don't get that and I don't need that. That's a whole bunch of baloney. Rest. Psh. And to y'all, to myself sometimes, right? I say, change your mind. God rested. God stopped. Rest is important to God. It should be important to you. So change your mind. So enter into the rest that he has for you today. Whatever that looks like, let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you offer us rest, that you give us the sweet gift of rest. Lord, I pray for those that their souls are not at rest because they do not know you, God. I pray that they would come and find you and ask you into their hearts so that they can experience the rest that only you can offer, that their toiling would stop, God. And Lord, change our minds. We are so steeped in the culture of work that our minds need to be changed and can only be changed by you. We ask for that rest in Jesus' name.